Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our class on the topic of marriage. As we indicated yesterday, marriage is still... Are you very cold? Where's your jacket? You know, in high school, if you are cold, you should know to put on a jacket on your own. Okay? Now, talking about marriage... Okay, for high schooler, marriage is still a concept that's a little bit distanced from you at this very moment. But there are some prior or preconceptual understanding about marriage or about relationship that you should start building already. Number one, as we said yesterday, in your age, friendship or peer pressure is greatly a great impact. Friendship is something important, if not the most important. And in high school, the pressure from your peer sometimes make you do stupid things. Okay? That once you get older in college or even older, you look back, you will feel very dumb. Have you seen on the news that students challenging each other to jump off the roof, stuff like that, right? You find those kind of video, like the friends like they, I dare you, and you're like, you dare me, I jump to show you, and then end up in hospital. Yeah. So in high school, it's easy. As I said yesterday, that physically you are grown up, physically, but mental-wise, still not there. So in school, in high school, usually people do not very smart things. And in high school is also the age that you yearning for friendship very strongly, very strongly. Because finally you feel that you are breaking away from the so-called authoritative type, such as your parents, your teacher, your RE teacher or your school teacher, that you feel, now I am grown up, I'm mature, I am independent, I do what I want. So you are trying to break away this figure. But at the same time, you need a replacement to fill this figure for you, and it always turn into your friends. And the friend is not individual friend, it's more like collective friend, like a collective idea of a group, a bunch of people, a group of friends that wherever they go, I want to follow. Whatever they do, I want to do the same. That kind of influence, okay? That's what we meant by peer pressure. But please do understand one thing. Something that you value a lot today doesn't mean it's good for you. Something you treated so serious today, it might mean very little for you in the long run or in the future. Okay? So, when you feel friend is very important or peer pressure is so great, it's just because you haven't grown up yet. For example, when you are in elementary school, have you ever do bad in school? Like I mean, do bad. What do you mean by that? We're always doing bad. So you know that in high school, maybe you messed up one test. How do you feel? Like when you, Paul is like, huh? You know that one day my daughter came back. She's second grade. And then she came back not doing so well on, that's not my daughter. Someone else's daughter. You know that one day my daughter came back. Very stressed. You can tell from her facial expression. She's very, very stressed. And I was like, what happened? And then at first she wouldn't tell. She was only like first, now she's second grade. That time she's like kindergarten, first grade. And then you can tell that she was not very happy. And then I asked what happened. And at the end, she finally told me, and she said, Cindy says she wouldn't be my friend anymore. In my heart, I was like, so, you know, remember, no friend type. I care very little about so-called friend. I mean, for me, the so-called friendship in this generation is so overrated. So overrated. What does it mean by friend? You're not even close. You don't even know. But anyway, yeah. So you know that when she came back and said, oh, Cindy said if I don't do this for her, she will not be my friend. And apparently that is a big thing to her in kindergarten. But once you got into elementary school, I was like, so how is Cindy? Who is Cindy? I mean, we live around the same area. So when we go to school, when we send kids to school, we always bump into each other. So Cindy used to be her best friend when she was in kindergarten. But in first grade or second grade, she doesn't really care. Because what? She grew out of it. She is no longer influenced by Cindy. If you don't do this for me, I won't be your friend. I won't be your friend. No. 七八段. You know that what I'm trying to say is a certain age, something seems very important to you might seem very minute when you grow up. Just like when you are in junior high, you flunk one test. You fail one test. You thought that's the end of the world. That your mom is going to beat you to death. You know, Chinese kids, right? We get beat up for failing one test. That's what we thought. Like, oh, it's going to ruin my entire life. This is a nightmare. But you know what? Now you're in high school. Do you remember? So, you don't remember. It's not so important anymore. I still remember the day I failed my first subject ever in my life in college. Astronomy. I was so bad. I never failed a single subject out of all these years. And the moment when I realized that I failed, which never happened before, it was like, yeah, it's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe that happened to me. And it's not even my fault. I just don't understand what the test question is. But anyway, yeah, at that time, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. But, you know, many years now, do I care? No. Does it bother me? Not at all. So I'm not telling you that failing tests is okay. And I'm not telling you that it's okay. I mean, I'm telling you that down the road, one day, you look back at different level of maturity and different height of life, it's not that crucial. Just like right now in high school, friend, being accepted, being included seems like the biggest deal in your life. But I'm telling you, once you go to college and grow independent, when you are able to think independently, when you are able to see a much bigger, much broader world, you look back and say, that's not really friends. Friends do not pressure friends. Friends do not losing respect to each other. Friends do not force others to follow them and be like them. That's not friendship. That's called pressure. Okay? When you see a much bigger world, when you find out what real friends is like, when you have a person who are there for you just because you are who you are, not because you are following them, that's called friendship. So for me, friendship is, the definition of friendship is mutual respect. And if you do not have that, sorry, out of my life. That's how I feel. So in high school, when you are trying to collect friends, like how you collect Pokemons, and seriously, that's how I feel. You're collecting friends. Just like how you are always looking around trying to collect Pokemons. This is exactly what you are doing. Identical. You are collecting friends so you can tell others, hey, do you see how many friends I have on Instagram? How many people are following my Twitter? How many friends click like on my Facebook? You know, you are collecting them as a souvenir. You are not needing them as someone important in your life. So what? You have 1,000 people listed as your friend in on your Facebook page. Other than boasting about it, what else can you do about it? Nothing. Out of 1,000, you know that what I ask students, like, how many friends you have on Facebook? If you have more than 1,000, please raise your hand. And there was a kid jump and said, me. So excited. I got more than 1,000. Beat you all. And I was like, okay. And out of 1,000, how many do you really know? Do you really know more than 500 of them? I mean, personally. And he said, no. I said, how many do you really know in person? He said probably 200.
Okay?
Out of 200, how many do you really communicate, like interact? 100? He said, no, probably 5. You know, just by looking at strangers' Facebook doesn't mean that you two are friends. Okay? Click like on a stranger's or acquaintance photos doesn't mean that you are friends. Friends is there when you need them. Friends is there for understanding, for comfort, and for support. They are there even to rebuke and extort. They are there to be. That's called true friendship. True friendship is not just I click like, you click like, everybody click like, now we are all friends. That's so shallow and useless. So what I'm trying to tell you is friend is important. However, only real friends are important. Okay? Now, talking about, we ended yesterday about following. Remember in, let's turn to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. In here it says that with her enticing speech she caused him to yield. With her flattering lip she subdued him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Okay? So this is where we ended yesterday, that following is a problem of this generation, especially in high school. Okay? You are in an environment that strongly, mutually impacting each other. So you find that in school, when you see your friend dye their hair, you want to be like them. When they put on, what do they put on? They put on everything. Everything's fake. Yeah. Brothers, please do remember, you do want to see what they are like without makeups. Okay? You'll be like, oh, who is this? You know that very often we are trying to make ourselves into another person just to be accepted by the environment or by your peer. Especially like in school, in girls' world, I know that the girls' world could be very, very complicated. Way more complicated than boys, okay? Like makeups, nails, or whatever. You know that many things that your friend want to press you, even they do not say anything, they might press you to be like them. Press you. And this kind of mental pressure is way more difficult than the boys' world. Boys' world is kind of simple, right? At this time, yeah, just play dumb. Boys' world is way, at this time, boys' world is simple. It's simpler than yours. Once they get to college, they will have their difficult time, okay? But in high school, girls are facing much more peer pressure. Much more peer pressure. For boys, it's more like, hey, come on, go play basketball. No, why? What's wrong with you? For them, it's so simple like that. But for you, it's different. It's a lot of, it's like mind games, mental games. And you will feel very hurt if you do not adapt or you do not follow them. We know that. But in here, remember yesterday we talked about leadership. Leader of life or follower for life. Okay? There's a big difference. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. And it has nothing to do with your GPA. And it has nothing to do it has very little to do with your ability. You all have, the main thing is about your maturity. The mental stage, your maturity. So as we said yesterday, doesn't mean that you want people to follow you. That's not what we meant by leadership. In the society, leadership is about I work, everybody follow, right? This is not what we are talking about in here. When we talk about follower, it means that you have no self-independent way of thinking. So you are easily persuaded, even you know what you should. But you are easily manipulated, persuaded by others against your own will to do things that you know you shouldn't or you know that you don't have the time for. You know you should be studying, but your friends say, come on, let's go. You say, okay, we go. That's followers. And followers, it's very difficult for you to have achievement in future life Because once a follower, unless you have a big breakthrough, you will always be a follower. And unfortunately, in the career path, follower is never a good candidate for managerial position or higher positions because you are followers. But leadership, leader is different. Leader is not the one that always rally people around it. No, that's not the type of leader we are talking about. The type of leader is a person who are able to guide their own life with a sound mind. They know who they are, they know what they are doing, they know what they should do. So they are not persuaded. And they make decisions upon their analysis of their self and their environment. So very strong self-assessment. Knowing what you should do, then you make decisions upon your analysis. That's called leader. It's a very, very important quality for your college life. And it's definitely a super important quality in your career. Knowing what to do and when. Strong self-assessment, like analyzing yourself. My pros and cons, how much time I have, and what do I need to do in order to achieve my plan, my accomplishment. So strong self-assessment means that you are a leader of your own life. And that's very, very important character for a successful career. Okay? Now, so then here we see that there's a little boy. There's a young man who are easily enticed, simply persuaded, and following wherever people are leading him. So the Bible describes that he was like an ox being pulled on the nose ring, being pulled to the slaughterhouse. Okay, so if you are always easily persuaded, unable to say no, then you are like an ox being pulled to the slaughterhouse, and you do not have control over what might happen to you. Okay, so young people, there are something that we need to keep in mind. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. This is what we will cover today. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lip may keep knowledge. For the lip of immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet goes down to death. Her step lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her way was unstable. You do not know that. Okay? Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labor goes to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last. When your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how I have hate instruction, and my heart despise correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly of congregation. Okay? So this is a very important passage for young generation today. So brothers, this is what we will cover today. That we are going to analyze this passage until how in high school a lousy or an ungodly relationship could have ruined you. Okay? So now we're supposed to be talking about marriage, but marriage is too far away. So we should be talking about dating, but dating is not something that you are ready for. So now we're down to talk about relationship, because relationship might ruin your life right now. So this is what we're going to focus about. Relationship. Nothing here. High schooler, there are some problem in this chapter. That there are something that you need to keep in mind. Number one, in here says that the lips of immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So number one is the problem that you are facing is sweet words. Okay? You know, we want to talk about how to guard ourselves and be careful not to be lured into the trap of Satan. And number one we see in here, they say immoral woman, or it could be an immoral guy, okay? So what is the first way that Satan tempt you into relationship? In here it says oil, honey, sweet words. Especially for females. Females, they are sensing by ear. Oh, so there are people say that females are sensing by ear, and for male it's all about vision, about what they see, about look. So guys, we look and we like. For girls, it's not about look. For girls, it's all like, you know, girls are like walking blind and only use their ear to determine their way by what they hear. So sweet words does a great impact. In young generation, you know, we like to be cherished, cared, especially we like sweet words that in here says like dripping honey or smoother than oil that make you feel that you are so loved. But you know, the problem in this generation is that we love. The term has been greatly abused. If we ask the young generation to define love, very often their definition is only from Korean drama, okay? Love is defined by drama. Love is defined by Hollywood. Love is defined by sin and iniquity. So we have the so-called one night stand, like romance. You know what? All those are only a sugar coating for sin, iniquity, lust, and adultery. If you yank it open, what do you see? You see adultery, fornication. But you covered it up. You call it romance, right? That's the world is covering up, sugarcoating it to make you feel that it's not so bad. That's why there are so many movies about a guy and a woman. The first time they ran into each other, and then like, you know, 2 minutes later they are on the bed, and they call that love. We call that lust. So what is the differences between love and lust? The greatest difference is love waits. Love waits, lust wants. Love is about preparation. Lust is about stimulation. And the thing is, if you observe in high school or in college, if you observe your friends, your people around you, your peer, your classmates, it's all about I want what I want. It's all about physical stimulations, tingling. Oh, I touch your hand, you touch. You know, it's all about stimulation, physical stimulations. And if you look at our so-called celebrity junk, do you watch those celebrity news? For me, that's just pure junk. And I just don't know why would people waste time on Twitter. I following like those garbage tweets. Oh, I have this for breakfast. Oh, I broke up with this guy. Oh, I have a new bag which is $40,000. For me, that's all junk. That doesn't do you any good. Celebrity news is the lowest news that you can ever waste your time to read, because for them, it's all about lust. They don't know what love is. How can you find love when you have one girl after another, one guy after another, one marriage after another, you together for 3 months, you divorce and find the next one? It's purely lust. They are fornicators. They are adulterers, according to the standard of the Bible. So why would you like so, I'm so adoring this celebrity. Like you're adoring an adulterer. You are adoring a great singer. And then you're following their tweet. You are always like checking after their news. They are nothing but a great singer in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what? Their information doesn't do you any good. And because they don't know what love is. They have a lavish wedding. Spend millions of dollars. Dressing all in white, wow, with dove, oh, flying dove. And then, after 3 months, they are in accord, isn't it? They are at court suing each other, want to kill each other. Where is love? There's no love. There's no love. So lust is all about, I want this, give me this, I want that. And stimulation, physical touch, is all about that. And you know what, if you observe, in high school, that's like very, very much the only thing that you see in a relationship. Desire, physical desire, stimulations. So when we say true love waits, in the book of Song of Solomon, he says, do not wake love. Allow it to wake on its own. Patiently wait. So love waits. Love comes with respect. Comes with respect. Okay? And love comes with preparation. As I said earlier, since I started working, when I was 20, I graduated from college and I started working. And I start saving up to prepare for my future spouse, who I do not know. But I know that one day I get married, she will be the one that's very important to me. The one I love deserves more. So I've been cheap on myself. I was very stingy, extremely. I only use 3 phones. If it's not free, I don't. You know, so far I only pay once for my phone. That was a mistake. Paying for phone is really a waste of money. Okay? So you know what? I was very cheap on myself. Why? It's not that I cannot afford or I cannot spend. I was earning good income. Remember, I was middle rank good, of a huge company. So I was earning good income. I don't have any expense. I live on my parents' house. I eat from their refrigerator. And I have them pay all the bills. The only thing I pay is my own car. So you know that for me, I can save, I can spend freely if I want to. You know, I can buy myself a computer or this and that. Yeah, I can. Basically, all the money I earned, I could use everything on myself, but I did not. I bring lunch to work every day just to save money. I don't go out to eat very often. Unless someone treats. So, you know, be smart. You are saving money for who? I did not save those money for myself. I'm saving those for my future family, especially my spouse. So, love is about preparation. You prepare yourself a way for the right one to enter into your life. That's called true love. Love is about endurance. About endurance. So, you know, that's why I say that celebrity, there's no love. Why? Because they don't endure. They are together for physical attraction. And once they have a conflict of mindset, they divorce right away. And then they are at the court talking about prenuptial agreements, talking about how much belong to me, how much belong to you. Why? Because nobody wants to yield and nobody wants to endure. If we can be together, we're together. If we cannot, we divorce. That's not love. Love is about endurance. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it begins with endure. It ends with patience. Everlasting suffering. So love itself is not suffering, but you are willing to sacrifice for the sake of love. So that's called endurance. So you know what, brothers and sisters, as you grow older in the future, when you are ready for marriage, except a few that in the bright age, huh? Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Peter. So you know what, when you are at the right age, one day when you are at right age, please be selective of your lifetime companion. Be selective. But the selection criteria should not be how tall, how good looking, what's the weight, what's the career, what's the major. All those are very not important in the long run. Why? Because in the long run, you want someone who really cares about you, someone who will be willing to sacrifice for you. That's what you want. If he is tall and handsome, but always flirting with other girls, is that the kind of marriage that you want? Always surrounded by other girls. Oh, like to be Mr. Charming, Mr. Popular. Is that kind of, you know, you will fight every day at home, right? Lacking of sense of security. What happens if he is very successful, and high achievement, earning a lot of money, but care very little about the responsibility of the family. Always outside, in his career, hang out with his friend, hardly ever come home, let alone care about home. Is that the kind of marriage that you want? So you know what? When you are talking about relationship, looking for someone who waits, who prepares, who endures, and who cares. Those virtues are way more important than good looking, high, and very fit, very athletic, and very successful in career. All those are very secondary. You need someone who truly cares about the family and about you. Okay? So in here, number one, we see that three words. If we are easily enticed by three words, we will be in big trouble. Okay? So number one in here say that immoral woman, a person who approach you only with three words, is what you should be careful with. And second, in here says that her feet goes down to death. Goes down to death. Direction. Direction is to death. Which is what? Once you cross the line, you cross the line. There is a line. There's a line in your faith, in your belief, in the judgment of God. Once you cross the line, sorry, we don't know what to do to you. We can't. We can't say anything. You know that as a pastor, sometimes we do have young people who come to us very painful, very sad. And they always cry that if life can start again, I will not cross the line. I will not even allow this to happen. But you know, there's no restart button in your life. For video game, you can always you just restart. That's why when I used to play games, like every 5 minutes, I save. So you know what? You make one mistake. What do? You reload, right? You just reload the data. So, hey, always perfect, right? This is what happened. For video games, you can save and reload. But for real life, sorry, there's no restart. You cross the line. So be very careful. In high school, that there will be people who try to entice you into a relationship desiring for physical interaction, and that's the way that they are leading you to death. For them, for the people in the world, their standard is different than yours. It's different. Their standard is different. For them, there's no guideline, and there's no moral, and there's no judgment of God. So they do whatever they want, and they live in sin, they die in sin, but you are not. You have to remember that you are alive after baptism. Once you are baptized, your life has resurrected from dead to life. Now you are living, walking among dead. They are not. They are all dead in the eyes of the Lord. They are all dead. So they can live in sin and die in sin. That's their choice. But for you, it's not. You are resurrected. But once you cross the line, you die, and then you die again. And there is no second baptism for you. So for you, it's very different. In the world, the guys surrounded you, give you sweet words, he sent you flower and chocolate. Girls surrounded you, want to want to be close friend with you. They are only leading your way to death. And I really hate to see that one day one of you will come to me and say, "Pastor, can we talk?" Oh, I hate that. It's usually happening in NYT is that after people pray for 4 or 5 days, that their heart is, after 4 or 5 days of prayer, now their heart is softened. And then they feel the guilt and sin, and they are willing to confess, and then they usually come to the pastor. So when they come, they say, "Pastor, can we have a talk?" This is a time that it just the scariest moment as a pastor, because now we are so what happened? What did you do? How far did you go? Did you cross the line? Yeah. So you know what? In our heart, there are a lot of up and downs. We're like, oh no, not you. Right? They come in tear. And you cannot just, you have to be like, but in our heart, it's like, why? You know, they are super sorry for what happened. But as I say, there are things that you can make it up to it. But there are things that it's just too late. That pastor has nothing that can say to you. So please do remember that for the people in the world, the so-called relationship at your age most likely is only leading you to the path of death. Okay? Do not yield. Do not follow. Do not be led into the slaughterhouse. Do not come to me one day and say, Pastor, can we have a talk? You should be like, Pastor, let's go to Africa together. I'll be very happy when I hear that. Okay? Or you can even come to me and say, Pastor, even in NYT, I'm fine with that. Even one day you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm ready to get married. And I'm inviting you. My parents are inviting you. And I'll be very happy. Maybe I will not go, but I'll be very happy for you. I mean, it's all based on my schedule, right? So maybe I will go, maybe I won't. But I'll be very happy for you when you are telling me that we are married in the church and my both parents are very happy about it. I'll be very happy for you. I don't want one day you come to me and say, Pastor, can we talk? There's one thing I never tell anyone, but can I tell you? In my heart, I was like, no. Please don't. But, you know, it hurts me. It hurts me when I see you come to me in tear, in great remorse, and so sorry, but how much you wish that you can start over, but you cannot. It leads to death. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to put your salvation on stake for this kind of temporary pleasure or just so that you can be like your friend. Hey, everybody got a boyfriend. I will have one too so I can be like them. You dumb. Okay? It leads to death. It's not worth it. Okay? It doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, if a guy approach you with flower and chocolate, ask them, what else can you provide for me? Seriously. Are you ready? Are you working? Do you have a stable income? Can you take care of a family? What? Chocolate? Vivian is going to chocolate again. Vivian is like, flour and chocolate. I'm going with you. So you have to remember one thing. Flour and chocolate might charm you. Sweet words might move you. But a real true love is about sense of responsibility. Man is all about abrogation. So I tell sisters, not your age, huh? I tell older sisters. And what he is like, you know what, when you are soliciting spouse, even if the guy is not making a lot of money, or is not very so-called successful, but if the guy, well, of course, in the church, huh? If the guy is willing to do anything for you in order to provide for the family, even selling blood, selling kidney, okay? If the guy will do anything possible to make you happy, marry him. I mean, godly, of course, in the church, okay? What I'm saying is a willing guy, a responsible man is way more important than a successful man. Okay, please keep that in mind, sisters. Keep that in mind, okay? So second, we say about right now in high school, relationship leads to death. And you hardly find exceptions. If you give in to relationship, and then from relationship, you enter into intimacy. And then after intimacy, you ended in remorse, sorrow, tear, and regret. And it leads to death. Okay, that's the second thing. Number three, verse 6. That her way are unstable, you do not know that. Number three is unstable life. So you know what? I really are uncomfortable seeing young person spending a lot of time watching dramas or listening to secular music. You know, sometimes we always focus on secular music belong to Satan. That's very worldly. So you know what? We always focus on that. For me, it's not. For me, it's because the lyric, or the melody or the lyric slowly changing your heart or brainwash you. And then as you listen a lot, you start to yearn for, hey, love is, maybe I need love in my life. Having someone there. You know, you keep on listening to those very, I don't even know how to call it. Those dramas, movies, or music, they're actually changing your mentality to yearn for something that perhaps you are not ready for. For people in a much older age, for them, listening to those is nothing but entertainment. They listen to it, they watch it, they walk away from it, and they just put it back. Because they know all those are unimportant or it's just for entertainment. Because they are mature enough. But for your age, you are very sentimental, very easily moved, or very sensitive about feelings. So at this time, if you immerse yourself in those dramas, Korean drama, Japanese drama, whatever dramas, when you involve yourself into those dramas and looking at all those love stories, at the end, it becomes very unstable in terms of your mentality and your heart become very unstable. And then you become like what? You become a girl by the riverside. He likes me. He doesn't like me. He likes me. He doesn't like me. Oh, he doesn't like me. Tear to half. Life becomes very unstable mentally, physically, mentally, and emotionally. For guys, the same. Guys, if you are engaged into a relationship, or not even engaged, if you are just eyeing on some girls, what's the result? The result is that if it's in the class, you are unable to pay attention. You are always looking. Right? Right? That's what happened, right? You're always like, every move, oh, why is she talking to that guy? Or what is she saying? Oh, when she came over, she dropped something. Is that purposely that she want me to pick it up so I can talk to her? You know, you have all this weird stuff going on in your mind. That's what happened. That's what we mean by unstable. Unstable. You are losing. You will. If you are engaging into a relationship right now without a maturity, without proper maturity at your heart, everything becomes very unstable, and you are losing focus on what is more important to you. So, as I said, none of you are ready. Oh, except most of you are not ready. And I will guarantee you, the one that approaches you in your life right now, in school, among your friends, none of them are ready either. They are not ready for family. Maybe they are ready for relationship and having fun. They are ready for having a boyfriend and girlfriend. They are ready for physical intimacy. But they are not ready to carry the responsibility and be accountable. They are not. None of them are. So if you allow yourself to be enticed and you allow yourself to engage in such an unstable relationship, it doesn't guarantee you anything, and it doesn't bring you anything other than bring you to death. Okay, so be very careful. Right now is not the time. Right now, they are not ready, and they are definitely not going to be responsible for you. And you, for brothers, if you are not independent, you are not ready to talk about relationship. Period. If you really love someone, you will do whatever it takes to be accountable for her. That's true love. Okay? That's all, Prince Alice.